Good morning and welcome to all of you here today.
Good morning.
Starting off with some announcements, today is Mission Sunday, and so a little bit later I'm going to be reading an update we have on the Hosh family. And because it is Mission Sunday, you can designate your offering. If you'd like, you could designate it either to the Hosh Ministry or the Famine Relief in Chad. We've got our annual congregational meeting on January 9th after worship. So just be aware of that. Just a couple weeks now, and it'll be coming up. We've got no Sunday school or confirmation today or next week, December 26th, or the following week, January 2nd. So we will resume Sunday school and confirmation on January 9th. We've got our Christmas Eve candlelight service coming up this week on Friday at 6 p.m., so mark your calendars for that. And coffee will not be served after the service today, so there will not be coffee today, but don't let that get in the way of having some fellowship with one another. So we don't always need coffee, just most of the time. So as I mentioned, it's Mission Sunday, and I've got an update on the Hosh family that was posted on Facebook this week, so I'll read that now. It says, "Pray for the Hosh family, who are transitioning from their language learning phase, which is ongoing, to a ministry focus in the community of Taichung. After much prayer and many discussions with colleagues, the decision has been made, and the move will happen next week." Following is a quote from Ben. "It's time to share our big news with you, our friends and supporters. On Wednesday, we will be moving south to Taichung City, our new ministry location. Taichung is the second most populated city in Taiwan, meaning it is full of people who don't yet know Jesus. We will be working alongside Taichung Victory Church. The church has a focus on outreach to college students at nearby Feng Chia University. The church is also located near what is considered the best night market in Taiwan, and grassroots day and night market workers make up a large unreached population in Taiwan. Please pray for a smooth move into our new apartment. Pray for our three oldest as they start at a new school. Pray for good and deep connections in our new community. Pray for us as we make goodbyes here in Hsinchu, our home for the last 3 years, and our church in Zhubei." So let us remember the Hosh family, both in our giving and in our prayers. Now I invite the Turchins up to light the Advent wreath as we sing, O Come, Emmanuel.
Lit on the Advent wreath is called the Angel's Candle. In the Bible, we read of angels serving as God's messengers. An angel brought God's messengers foretelling Jesus' birth, first to Mary and later to Joseph. Again, it was an angel of the Lord who announced to the shepherds that the Savior had been born. Like angels, we also are God's messengers to bring the good news of Jesus to others. A reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 19. The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news."
And now our call to worship is found in Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7. "Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim. Shine forth, Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Let us continue in a moment of silence as we prepare for worship today. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your work to restore us as your children. We praise you, Lord, because your face has shone on us. You sent your Son into this world that we might have salvation in him. And you have given us the promise to wipe away every tear. We pray for all of the missionaries that you have called to serve in other countries. We think specifically of the Hosh family as they are now relocating. We pray for Adelaide and Emery and Winifred as they start at their new schools. We ask that you would bless them with good friends and connection in their community. We pray that the hearts that they come into contact with would be open and willing to hear and receive the life-altering truth of your gospel. And that as they say goodbye to their home and move into a new community, we ask that you would help them feel your comfort and peace. Reassure them that their work is not in vain. We ask that you would pour out your peace and security over them and that you would protect them, so that no attack or plot from the enemy would be successful. We also ask that you would protect them from COVID and that you would help them connect with others even if they aren't able to meet in person. Father, you are the source of our salvation and our protection. Place our trust in you alone. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please stand as you are able as we continue to worship God in song with our hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. ask you to continue standing as we come before the Lord with a confession of our sins and also hear the words of absolution. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin, reading aloud under the section Congregation. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Let us once again turn to the Lord in prayer. But before we do, I'll ask the congregation, are there any prayer requests that should be made? Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. We'll pray for him. Are there any others? Then let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering your church together today. We are your people, chosen by you. And as we meet together in this place, help us to listen and to understand and to remember. We thank you for not leaving us in our sin. Instead, you came into this world, and you lived and you died and you were resurrected for our salvation. We rejoice that you then sat at the Father's right hand. We now await your coming. Receive our worship in your name. Lord, you helped Israel, and your mercy endures forever. Look upon all of us now who have been laid low by illness, injury, grief, or any other affliction. We think of Joy and Galen, who are home today, sick. We also think of Norm, And we ask that you would heal them, that you would restore their health, and that they would know that you are always with them through every trouble. Have mercy on them. Grant them healing and strength. Give them certain hope of your faithfulness to them for Jesus' sake. We ask that you would keep our attention from being drawn from you. Open our ears to receive your word this morning. Lord, may you bless Pastor John as he delivers your word to us. And now, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I invite Pastor John.
Earlier this month, the 80th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor was marked December 7th, 1941. One or two of you here were alive then. I remember hearing my mother talk about it. She was 6 years old when that announcement came over the radio. And what kind of seared that event into her memory was the worried look on her mother's face, my grandma, hearing that news, knowing that this was going to be a terrible series of consequences that followed. We hear that, hearing that news, that bad news, just those vibrations hitting our eardrums and getting translated into our brains into meaning, sound and meaning, can have a physical effect on us. You can feel it in your gut if that news is really bad. It works the other way, doesn't it, too? There was also radio broadcasts some years later that had really the opposite effect. For the resistance fighters in France under Nazi occupation, they knew an Allied invasion was imminent, and the BBC was broadcasting coded signals to the resistance fighters in France, and they got a signal. It's a line from a poem that the invasion would be within 2 weeks. And then another one when it was going to be within 48 hours. And to hear that news that the rescue is on the way, igniting hope that their country might again be liberated. When the sound reached their ears, the resistance fighters in France were to go into action to do a lot of sabotage and behind the lines attacks that would aid the Allied forces landing on the beaches in the hours to come. Had they not believed it, the outcome might have been different. If they thought it was a false alarm or too good to be true. But many did believe the word they heard, and they went into action, and the rest is history. Our passage today from the Gospel of Luke has announcements being made and reactions following. And I invite you, as you're able, to rise for the reading of God's Word from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. I read in Jesus' name. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. A little bit of the backstory, just to review for us here. Mary, most of us recognize that name, to be the mother of Jesus. If we page back in the first chapter of Luke, we have a couple of announcements. The first is the announcement to Zechariah that his wife, Elizabeth, will have a child. See, they had been getting along in years and were childless. Zechariah was a priest. It was his turn to serve in the temple. An angel visited him and gave him the news that he's going to have a son who will be called John, who will be the one who would be a prophet like Elijah of old, who would announce the coming of the Lord. And sure enough, Zechariah went home, and all of a sudden his wife is pregnant. Another announcement follows. In verse 26 and following, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And he went on to tell her that, by the way, you're going to have a child without the involvement of your fiancé or any other man. Wow. One spectacular announcement followed by an even more spectacular announcement. There's some precedent in the Bible for an elderly couple to have a child. We've seen this before. It's not common, but it's happened. Abraham and Sarah, remember that? Isaac comes along when they were getting up there in years. We had Hannah, who had Samuel, who became a prophet. Yeah, this has happened before, but the thing that Mary was told, that was just unheard of. Nothing that had ever happened before. Martin Luther remarked that really the more amazing thing than Jesus being miraculously conceived in Mary's womb was the fact that she believed it. And Elizabeth makes note of this point in verse 45 of our passage. "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." There's a blessing in believing good news. News from the Lord. John, the other John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, in the book of Revelation, writes that blessed, recording the words of Jesus, "Blessed are those who hear the words of the prophecy of this book. Blessed are those who hear and keep the words of the prophecy of this book. There's a blessing in believing the good news. Even when it's unbelievable news. When you look at what God is doing here, He is setting in motion the fulfillment of His salvation plan He's been announcing for centuries in His Word. And how does He do it? He comes to two women in different occasions, two women without children, one who is too old to have children, and the other one who is too unmarried to have children. And this is how He sets about doing His work, an unlikely game plan. What about you and I? What's God's game plan for you, for me? In some ways, it's quite similar to the kinds of things being announced here to these two women. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians what kind of God we have and what kind of people He chooses to do His work in. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God, the world through His wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." He goes on later and he says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world, the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." And that's exactly what Mary did when she met up with Elizabeth following our passage today. She breaks out in song, boasting, not in herself, but in God, who takes the lowly, the humble, and raises them up. But getting back to you and me, it's when we think of Mary, the fact that she is carrying inside of her the Savior of the world, the one through whom the world was created, that reduced Himself to human form. He promises to do the same kind of thing for us, to dwell in us. You read in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians later on, that the Holy Spirit, that we are a temple, our physical bodies, a temple, a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. That whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That God is with us. Who, me? Yeah, you and me. You see, the same God who used angels to make these announcements to Mary and Elizabeth is the same God who uses His word and His messengers even today to deliver the message that God is still coming. He's still coming to the rescue. When John, baby John, 6 months old from conception, not yet born, heard the greeting, Mary's greeting, he leaped for joy. The Holy Spirit was at work even in John, even before he was born. The Holy Spirit causes him to give Elizabeth a kick. Woo! Wow. Not just an ordinary kind of the kicks babies do inside a mom as they get to a certain stage of development. No, this was in direct response to the presence of Jesus inside of Mary and her greeting. Wow. The Holy Spirit at work. If the Holy Spirit can work in an infant who's not even yet fully conscious of what's going on, a pre-born infant, what might he be able to do in you? A question to ponder. The announcement has been made. Help is on the way. I can't imagine what that message was like to people who had been living in France under occupation of a brutal regime for years. What hope that would have stirred in them. I'm not sure what kind of darkness you're struggling with today. But whatever it is, it's not unknown to the God who announces that he is on the way. He has already come, and he is coming back. And while our feelings might not just immediately run with that, it is something that can give us joy, a deep, abiding joy. When we believe what the Lord has told to us indeed will come to pass. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Amen. Father, may we eagerly hear and take to heart all of your good promises to us in Christ, who is our Savior, our rescue. We pray, Lord, as we come upon this Christmas celebration, a time of joy, but also a time of struggle for many, open our ears, open our hearts to hear again this message of hope. And bring up in us a joy which can come from no other source, that which can compare to nothing else. I ask this, Jesus, in your name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. I invite you to please rise as you are able for the singing of our next hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels bring.
And now our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. Hear the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.